Hello and welcome to the Knitting on the Rud podcast. I'm recording this on Tuesday, April 18th. Welcome to all you new listeners, and if you're a returning listener, thank you so much for coming back. I'm recording this a day late because here in the state of Massachusetts, yesterday was a holiday called Patriots Day, and it was the annual running of the Boston Marathon, which, if you're a distance runner like I am, is a huge deal. And if you're from Massachusetts, it's also a huge deal. It's just gigantic around here, even before the bombings a few years ago. So we'll definitely be talking about the race in the On the Run segment. Segments this week include Whips, Stash, In the Garden, Knitting Fail, and a slightly extended On the Run segment. We'll also be having our very first giveaway, so stay tuned for details on how to enter. In Whips this week, I've gotten a bit done on the Robin Shawl by Lee Meredith. I've mentioned this a few times. It's an almost triangular shawl, except it's almost exclusively worked in short rows, so it's not quite triangular, but the curvature makes for some really interesting stripe pattern, and I'm really enjoying it. Plus, it's garter stitch, so it's super easy, and that means on the short rows, you don't have to pick up your wraps, which makes it even easier. I am knitting on this in Ito's Kinu yarn, which is 100% silk in a lace. I think it's a lace weight, it's lighter than a fingering weight. I'm doing it in light gray and charcoal gray colors, and I'm on the last section. Yay! This is really good news because it's a teacher's gift for one of Thing One's teachers at his preschool. She wears lots of gray and lots of shawls, so I thought this would be just the perfect gift for her. But I need to get it done because I have to start a gift for that teacher. I have the yarn for it, but I haven't started that one yet. Next up, I have gotten a lot of work done also on the linen sweater I've mentioned several times. I've finished the upper back and the button band. I've bought the buttons and the grosgrain ribbon for when I'm done. I just need to do the short sleeves. And that's what my plan is after finishing the podcast, is going and picking up the stitches for the sleeves. So, yay! Hope to be done with that this week or next. I've also gotten several rows done on the Empire top by an independent designer, Lily Goh. She's out of Malaysia, and she has really interesting patterns. But still a lot more work to go on that one, because the top of that, it's a top-down pattern, and the top of it is actually crisscrossed across the bust. So I have a lot of stitches to go before I get to the next section. And the last pattern I've worked on this week is the Hitchhiker Shawl by Martina Bain, which I think seems like everyone on Ravelry has done at some point. I've started this in Valley Yarn's Greylock, which is 100% cashmere fingering weight yarn. I've gotten 4 points done so far, and this is a gift for a good friend of ours, the family. She's currently going through chemotherapy, and I'm told that you get cold, especially the hospitals always seem to be cold. I knit her a cowl over the winter, or late last fall, but I thought a shawl might just be a little bit easier, you know, if you get warm, you can take it off, and if you get cold, you can put it back on. I'm curious to see how I do with cashmere, because I do get hives from it if I wear a cashmere shawl a little bit too long. I've never knit with it before, so I'm limiting myself to maybe working on it for 15-20 minutes, and then washing my hands, and then working on something else. I can wear a shawl for, you know, probably about 3 or 4 hours. I can wear one out to dinner before it starts to drive me absolutely batty. So I'm curious to see how I handle the cashmere working on it with my fingers, because you don't usually have your shawl in your fingers. But so far, so good. Fingers crossed it stays that way. On to Stash. I haven't actually bought anything this week, but I forgot to list one of my purchases from last week at Webb's, and that's Barocco Remix, a yarn I've used many times. It's a recycled yarn made of nylon, cotton, acrylic, silk, and linen. It's a really interesting blend. It's kind of tweedy. It's a great tweedy yarn for those of us who can't touch wool, as I mentioned in the last episode. I've got the color strawberry. I already have almost 2 skeins of it, and I needed one more skein to make the head teacher's gift for a Thing One's preschool class. So close, and I was actually able to find a pretty close matching skein while at Webb, so that worked well. And worst comes to worst, I blend a few rows at each end with the other skeins I do have that are an exact match. I'm planning on making a cabled scarf for her. The strawberry colorway is kind of more of almost a rich brick red, not quite brick, but it's kind of a dark strawberry color, and she tends to wear a lot of that color, so I think she'll like it. In the garden! Well, we finally had some gorgeous weather over Easter weekend, so we actually got in the garden. It was rather exciting. I got out there with my husband and my son. We did a bit of cleanup, and I got some seeds planted. We've got the first round of lettuce and mesclun greens and Swiss chard. I plan to get out there later this week. Still got a lot more stuff to plant. Got to do the carrots, kale, parsnips, turnips, and sugar snap peas before the weather turns too warm. We're back to normal seasonal temperatures now, which is, you know, 50s, hovering around 60 or so, which for April is usually about like 60-ish or so. It's pretty normal. So we're back to those temperatures, but we really got spoiled over Easter weekend. It was 80. It was gorgeous. And now, knitting fail. Ooh, fail from this morning. Definitely the robin shawl. I love the shawl. But turns out I dropped a stitch yesterday while at physical therapy. Didn't notice it. Luckily, the silk yarn I'm working with is like almost like a raw silk. It's got a lot of texture to it. So it held on. It only dropped about, you know, three or four rows. And I'd been working it and shoving it around, and the toddler had gotten into it. So it had taken a bit of a beating. So we're lucky, really lucky, it only dropped about four rows. So I caught that. Like, you know what? I've done 10 extra rows since then. Silk has no stretch, so I'm just going to ladder it back up in garter stitch, and at the end, cut a piece of yarn, and then like loop it in, secure it, and then weave those ends in. So I decided to take a little further look at the shawl, and I discovered I've got two more of those from way further down that I never noticed. I mean, we're talking 6-8 inches down, so we'll be patching up a few holes on that when I finish the shawl later this week, I hope, or next week, yeah. Knitting fail. 10 inches later, I catch a drop stitch. How long have I been knitting? Yeah. And on to giveaways. I am really excited. This is my first giveaway for the podcast. I'm going to be giving away a copy of my own pattern. It's a pattern I released last month called Mummy's Tunic. It's an empire waist pattern with a rather unique construction. You knit a cabled band that goes around the upper part of your ribcage below the bust, join that in the round block it, and then you pick up stitches around that band to the bust and the shoulders, bottom up. You pick up more stitches around the bottom side of the band to do the torso, part down, and there's some faux gathering that you do with knitting increases to make it look like gathering below the bust and gathering in the back, so the tunic spreads nice and wide and flows over the hips. It's really, really comfortable. I've made myself two of these. I wear them. I started designing this pattern when I was first pregnant with Thing 2, and I really wanted to design it because I wanted something that was comfortable to wear during pregnancy, but also would flatter all the bumps and curves you get postpartum, because nothing fits when you're postpartum. I've done it twice now. Nothing fits. And I wanted something that made me feel pretty again. So this pattern is the result. So I'm going to give away one copy. To win, you must be a member of the Ravelry group. If you go to the group section on Ravelry, look us up. You can find us through Knitting on the Run or Windswept Designs. The name contains both of those. Only one entry per person. And in the thread in the Ravelry group, please answer the question in the opening post, which is, what is your favorite color yarn to knit with? I'm going to lock the thread on May 1st, and I'll announce the winner on the next podcast. Good luck, and hope to see you in the entries. And now, on the run. This segment is probably going to be a little long given the marathon yesterday, so if you have zero interest, feel free to skip it, and I will see you next week. Otherwise, here we go. So still no running for me. Lots of physical therapy. I have a lot of scar tissue on one of my ankles. I've had two operations as a kid on one of my ankles, and so the physical therapists are doing a lot of scar release, which is helpful, but painful. For those of you who roll out your IT bands, that's a cakewalk in comparison. I was rolling my IT bands out last night. I'm like, oh, this is so much easier than what I went through this morning. But, you know, it's totally worth it in the long run. I'm really happy, and my foot and ankle are making a lot of progress. So that's great. Plus, it was the Boston Marathon yesterday! Yay! I'm a local girl. I was born and raised in the Boston suburbs. I've watched the race my whole life. I would love to run it someday, but I am slow as molasses, so that's unlikely. I would have to be a charity runner, and the idea of fundraising $8,000 or $9,000 terrifies me. Maybe someday. You never know. When the boys are a little older, I would love to take them into the city to watch the race. Once we don't need a stroller and bags and bags and bags of stuff for toddlers. You know, security is tight these days after the bombs. They don't really want you to be there with strollers and backpacks and stuff like that, understandably. Which means I should probably answer the obvious questions. No, I was not in Boston when the bombs went off a few years back, but I had friends and family who were. My cousin was actually standing next to the second bomb, unknowingly, about 10 minutes before it went off. Thankfully, she and her friends left the area early. She got stuck in the city for the night because they were unable to get back to their car, which was the quarantined area. Luckily, they got a place to stay because you can't just hop a train back to New Hampshire from here. She wasn't local at the time. I had multiple friends running the race. Most of them were charity runners, so they were still on the course when the bombs went off, and they were halted by officials at mile 25 or earlier. My husband works in Boston. Luckily, he was about a mile away, so he was perfectly safe and eventually got home that night, albeit a bit later than normal. He's actually the one who told me about the bombs without realizing it. I watched the race as normal, had my older son down for a nap, and after nap time I took him out for a run around the neighborhood in the jogging stroller. I was about a mile away from home when I got a text from my husband to the effect that I wasn't near the bombs, I'm fine. At which point my heart just about stopped, because I had no idea what was going on. Bombs? What bombs? What are you talking about? And, you know, I had a pretty crappy data plan back then, so I ran home, probably the fastest I've ever run in my life, to figure out what on earth was going on and watch the news. And, you know, runners are a special group of people. You know, we're almost like our own tribe. Unlike in other sports I've played over the years, runners are so good to each other, even quote-unquote competitors, like the runners at the Olympics in Rio that helped each other up after they knocked each other down. I've seen stuff like that with everyday people in nearly every race I've run, from the smallest 5K to a marathon I did that had 30,000 people. We talk each other through the hard parts. Sometimes we literally carry each other across the finish line, like we saw in the marathon yesterday. So when a bomb goes off at an event like that, it's, you know, I guess the actions speak for itself. Like the local runners who took in out-of-towners who couldn't get to their hotels, who couldn't get out of the city. The runners who finished the race and then kept running to the local hospitals to donate blood. You know, runners take care of each other. We are an amazing group of people. And we keep running, you know? Boston strong, runners strong. Well, thank you for putting up with my little soapbox on how awesome runners are. Yes, I am highly biased. I am one. I am married to one. And my 5-year-old is dying to do a race with us, so I admit it, I am highly biased. But, hey, I think we're awesome. Well, that's all for this week. I hope you have a great week, and keep on knitting. This has been the Knitting on the Run podcast. Show notes can be found at knittingontherun.podbean.com. You can find me on Ravelry as Windswept Monique, on Twitter as WindsweptDES, on Instagram as WindsweptKnits, or you can email us at podcast@windsweptdesignsonline.com.